I'm Mayor Deb Finan, and I'm here with Alicia Beck. You are which district?
I am in District 2.
Okay, and tell everybody where that is.
So District 2 is kind of a unique district. We are across the university, kind of going all the way up through Research Park, and also the Old Town neighborhood of Champaign. So it kind of makes a barbell of sorts because it goes underneath the viaduct on 6th Street and then across and then sort of on either side of the train tracks. So
perfect for you that it's a barbell shape.
It is. Yeah, it's good.
Well, as we're doing this, you know, we haven't really had an opportunity to see each other one-on-one. You know, council members, I think in general, we all like each other and we get to spend a lot of time together. We haven't been doing that. So why don't you take some time and just let us know what it's been like for the Beck family as you've all been sheltering in place and, you know, working through the stay-at-home order.
Yeah, so I think we probably have some of the same challenges that a lot of families have during this time. We have a 17-year-old that's trying to finish up the senior year doing online learning. So preparing for AP exams, trying to do that remotely is a little challenging, but you know, has been working out pretty well because the teachers have been doing a great job actually pushing information out and connecting with kids. And now we've been really appreciative of some teachers from the past too that you know, August, our son, doesn't have currently, but have reached out to him to just check in and see how he's doing. So that's been really nice because, you know, you have a nice support system out there that's checking on you. So that's good. And then of course I've had to shut down my business because I'm a non-essential business and I'm a personal trainer and I have a small boutique gym that does small classes and personal training. So, you know, those aren't things that we really want to engage in right now with the you know, with the possibility of transmission. That's pretty high because it's pretty high contact and very close quarters. So, you know, I'm fully support that. And then, you know, my husband is actually considered an essential worker. So he goes to work and he supports a lot of essential workers in our community. People from, you know, DCFS and from unemployment and people that are taking care of people in nursing homes and nurses. So people all across Central Illinois that are doing the work that has to be done to take care of other people. So he's been going to work every day. So for our part, August and I have been trying to really keep home and keep to ourselves and do the things that we're supposed to do so that we can, you know, have as little contact with, you know, socially distant, appropriate contact with people so that, you know, we can support, first of all, my husband, then all the people that he supports as well, because, you know, those are important jobs and we want to make sure that we're not bringing exposure to people that doesn't, that's unnecessary. So,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's been a transition for my business, actually. You know, I've been doing some online of training. And so I'm like a lot of the other businesses that are kind of trying to catch up with how you actually change your business model and what does that look like and how do you conduct business in a very new way and the challenges that come along with that.
So that's actually the question I was going to ask is about that business pivot as you try to figure out a new way of doing things. And I am guessing that just from a council member standpoint, you know, because of where your business stands, that you have a lot of empathy for our other local small businesses and, you know, kind of how being a council member plays into that. So tell me about what you're doing to change yours and ways you see other businesses changing and things we can do to support as council members.
Yeah, no, those are great questions. So, you know, some of the things that I've done personally is just really move things to, you know, everybody's living on Zoom or other conferencing, yeah, you know, online video conferencing right now. And so, you know, that's no exception for me. My clients have a number have moved to online, and I've also, you know, started to look at more ways to provide classes online right now. I've just been doing a free class for people online through Zoom, but I also have, you know, some other like software platforms that I've been using. So I think that, you know, you have to kind of get creative and also think about your delivery in a different way. Not all my clients, for example, have all the equipment that we use at my gym.
Right. So
you have to get creative and start to think about being able to do the same exercises or similar kinds of exercises or something that accomplishes the same thing, but with different equipment or no equipment or, you know, just your body. So trying to help people through those things. And I think other businesses have had to do similar things. You know, maybe they're not able to provide their service in the same way. Maybe if they're a tutoring, you know, business, for example, they can't meet with their students one-on-one face to face, but they can do it through conferencing systems. Or if they, you know, are a food-based business, you know, trying to think about how you can do delivery or pickup options and things like that. I think there are some businesses that are probably having a little bit more difficulty trying to figure out how to transition just because the nature of their business. And if they're an on-site consumption business that maybe doesn't allow for you to do something virtually, like if you are, you know, like an entertainment of some kind that really requires you to be on-site for that entertainment consumption, then, you know, you're going to have a much more difficult time transitioning that to some other way to do it. And so I think that, you know, one of the things that we're going to have to start to think about as a community is how we can support these businesses and help them to the other side of this, and the ways in which, you know, we can do that. And a lot of people are doing things like purchasing gift certificates so that, you know, it's like you're buying a share in the business now until they get to the other side, and, you know, you'll be able to support them then too. And things like that, that we know, you know, the valuable things that make up the fabric of our community that make us really special and unique, that we can continue to have those things in some fashion after this, because we will get to the other side. It will end at some point in time. We're going to, you know, have a different kind of normal. It probably won't be exactly the same, but it's going to be a different kind of normal, and we want to be able to preserve a lot of that. So
as a council member, you know, we are going to have a big role to play in what that new normal is.
Yeah.
At the same time, revenues are decreasing currently because, you know, we aren't getting the sales tax or the, you know, all of the different kinds of taxes that generate income. So have you been spending some time thinking about what are the critical things that we need to be doing in our government role to support our community and or the businesses? And what are the things that, at least for the time being, maybe we aren't going to be able to do?
Yeah. There's going to be some difficult decisions going forward. You know, we as a council had our time when we thought about all the things that we wanted to do going forward. And we had a lot of really cool and great plans about really awesome things we wanted to do for our community, which I think, you know, eventually we'll be able to do some of those things, but they're not a today thing or a tomorrow thing. They're a down the line thing now again. So I think that, you know, it's always our responsibility to make sure that we provide the basic services to our community at the highest level that we can, you know, making sure that our streets continue to be taken care of and people continue to have their streets plowed, and, you know, our police and fire are well staffed and can continue to provide the safety for our community that they need to. So, you know, I think those always become your first and foremost, your core city activities, clearly their preservation of those. But then beyond that, you know, I think we have to start to think about some of the basic needs of our community that we have to meet. And I am the council member that also sits on the Economic Development Champaign Economic Development Corporation's board. So, you know, they're really working hard in conjunction with many other entities across the county, trying to figure out good ways to support small businesses and creating, you know, additional funding opportunities or economic opportunities for businesses to continue to survive during this time. So I think that we're going to have to be active participants in that, the city is, and we're going to have to think about how we can help those small businesses thrive and continue to bring in the federal dollars that we can to help those initiatives. And I think that a lot of what's going to happen is meeting some of the basic needs for our community, whether that's rent or food or things like that to help people get through those rough times that really are happening now and are going to be happening for a little while longer. And if we can continue our focus long-term though, and think about what we want things to look like when we come out of this, I think that that can help us to build the pieces that need to be in place in order to make that happen. And that's not going to just be a Champagne thing, I don't think. I think that's going to be a regional thing, and it's going to have to take a partnership with, you know, the many entities that are going to help come out on the positive side of this.
So, you know, our community has done some pretty amazing things over the course of the last month and a half, 2 months. Has there been some things that have stood out to you where you've just thought, wow, we live in a great community. I'm really, you know, proud of or amazed at the work that's being done.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been really proud at the response of the general citizen, to be honest, about how people have taken personal responsibility about really flattening the curve. And I think that, you know, a lot of people have taken on that personal responsibility with vigor and have wanted to make sure that they are doing their part. So, you know, we see that in the low numbers that we're seeing and the number of cases that we're seeing of COVID in our community. And, you know, unfortunately, we've had some people that have died from COVID, but our numbers in comparison to what they could be, and if we hadn't taken the proper steps to do so, are so much lower. And so, you know, many lives have been spared and saved because of that. And so I think that that first and foremost is one of the most amazing things that our community has done. And secondly, I think that, you know, just seeing some of the really cool ways that people have supported their neighbors, you know, getting groceries for elderly neighbors, or, you know, I'm part of a listserv that if a family isn't able to purchase groceries, they're quarantined or something's happening in their family that they're not able to, you know, it goes out on the listserv and says, is there anybody that can help to buy, you know, groceries for this family? And then somebody takes it on and they go out and they buy the groceries for that family. Or, you know, if somebody, you know, there's been this whole big movement about mask making in our community that's been amazing. You know, all the crafters in the community, or people that have never been crafters that have taught themselves how to sew to make masks for other people. That's a real gift to give somebody a mask. So the concern for other people doing those kinds of things, that's amazing. That's a true testament to how we do care about other people in this community and how we do come together in struggles together.
Seen your posts. It seems like it's maybe every Friday or every other Friday. Hey, it's Friday. I'm going to the grocery store. Yeah. Does anybody need me to pick up stuff for them? And, you know, has anybody taken you up on that? Because that's a great thing.
Yeah, I have had people take me up on that. And, you know, sometimes it can just be something as simple as, like, I forgot to get, you know, milk, or I needed more milk. I needed, you know, this for this thing that I was making and I didn't have it. So it's easy enough to get that for someone. You know, my neighbors around us too, you know, I've gotten things for them and then they'll contact me and say, we bought too many mandarin oranges. Do you need mandarin oranges? I'm like, I don't have any fruit right now. That's great. I need mandarin oranges. I grew up in a really small town, not Champagne, a really small town, the kind of in where you would run across the street with the cup to get a cup of sugar from your neighbor or get an egg from your neighbor. And this is so reminiscent of that to me. And I, you know, for a long time, I felt like maybe that had been lost a little bit, but this, I think, has really revived that, being able to, you know, share with your neighbors and really do it in a way that is going to make a difference in somebody's life. You know, it really is.
I've been surprised too, because I think in an era where we don't know our neighbors as well, people come in and sort of drive into their garages and the door comes down and we're social distancing. So it's not like you're going over to your neighbor's house, but it feels like we've gotten to know our neighbors better, whether that's sort of shouting across the street or, you know, standing out in our yards, whatever it may be. There seems to be a camaraderie that is has increased because of this.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was just saying to my husband 2 days ago, I think it was, we were running and we saw somebody driving that we knew and we hadn't seen them for a long time, and they waved and honked from their car and we waved from, you know, the street. And it was just like, oh my gosh, we saw somebody we knew and we hadn't seen them for like several weeks. And we were all so excited, you know, we didn't stop and talk or anything, but we just like waved and we were like, it's so good to see you.
Right, no doubt.
So anytime we see somebody, it's just always an exciting moment.
So I know that you are an avid campaigner, that you knocked on doors like crazy.
Yeah.
And that you continue to have that one-on-one kind of relationship with your constituents, whether it's, you know, meeting them at the coffee shop or whatever it may be before all of this started. Talk to me a little bit about the challenges of staying connected through all of this and, you know, moving forward into a summer that's going to include social distancing and it's going to be a little bit harder to have that connection. You know, what you're thinking about doing to maintain that connection.
Right. So, you know, one of the things that I think this has done is really shine a light on a few of the disparities that exist, you know, in our community. And one of them is technology disparity. And part of that is because, you know, we have people that just simply don't have the access to it. And then other people that maybe don't know how to use it. So they're two different kinds of issues, but have the same outcome, and that they're not using technology to intersect with other people. I think that, you know, that really raises a big issue for all of us who are trying to now connect with other people and maintain relationships in using technology. I've been thinking about this a lot and how, you know, there is campaign coming up, you know, in the fall. It is absolutely going to be affected by this in some way. And we may be having a, you know, a wave at that point in time. We don't know. Let's hope not, but, you know, there may be. And certainly that's, you know, there's going to be a lot of difference in how, you know, campaigning looks. What I'm hoping that we can do is continue to provide people with opportunities where they may not be able to have like the direct face-to-face contact with me in a meeting set, like a large meeting setting. But if we have opportunities for smaller meetings, then that might be something where if the community can do smaller, like 10 people and smaller kind of meeting, if we get to that point in our stay-at-home order. And if we don't get to that point, then maybe, you know, there still can be the opportunity for socially distant kinds of appropriate things. Having somebody knock on your door is one of those things right now where you're like, oh, I do not want to open up the door.
Right.
I don't know who's standing on the other side and are they going to be up against the screen? But if there can be a way for us to be able to engage with other people, whether that's through social media, you know, Facebook or through Zoom or something like that, you know, those are all going to be issues that we're going to have to start thinking through now in order to be able to put those in place for then.
And how are you currently keeping in touch with constituents? So is that mostly electronic means?
It's mostly electronic means. And, you know, there's been some phone calls and, you know, a lot of email. And to be honest, you know, that's really people's mode of interest, you know, right now, or in the previous to now anyway. Most people were connecting that way. I provide opportunities for people to meet with me in person. Those are not always the way that people choose to, you know, engage with you. I'd say the rates of engagement are higher electronically anyway. We kind of as a community have been moving that direction. But certainly, you know, I would encourage people that if you do want to be in contact with your city council members, we're still here and we're still being responsive. And if you have issues, we actually are working on them and bringing them to the attention of the city. Clearly, the city is not, you know, we don't stop serving our citizens during this period. The city is still very much open, still very much operating. And, you know, if a citizen has an issue, please do contact your council member. You can call them or email them, and all that information can be found on our website.
So what is the one thing you miss the most right now?
Oh gosh. The one thing I miss the most is being like in groups of people, I'd say. I mean, yeah. I like being with other people. Yeah. I love to serve the public and not want to be with other people. You know? I miss teaching my classes with it's okay to be doing it online, and you know you do have connection that way, but being in the same room with someone and encouraging them and developing their method is really rewarding, and that I do miss that a lot.
So we're a little bit unique, I think, in this council, in that we have multiple of us that have graduating seniors in high school, yeah, including the city manager. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about, have you thought about the ways that this experience is going to change that generation of kids?
Yeah. Wow. So I think that it certainly is going to help them to see that when circumstances completely change, something that's completely out of your control, it's not about having to change the situation. We cannot change this situation. It's how you react to this situation that's going to make the difference. And so if you can react in positive ways and make the most out of it, rather than, you can mourn it, you can be sad about the things that you didn't get to do, but you can also change things so that they are something different and something new that you otherwise wouldn't have been able to accomplish. And I think that, you know, this generation has, at least in my estimation, from what I see of them, they have a very unique way of looking at things that's not as static as maybe what our previous generations have been, or at least my generation or previously. They're not as concerned as about traditions being the way they have to be. And so they already come to us, I think, in ways that are maybe a little bit more malleable. And they're also, you know, trying to figure out ways to make their own experiences unique. And so I think that, you know, this, they've just brought that to this situation. Certainly going into the fall, for those that will be going into, you know, post-secondary education, this is going to be a real difference in how you and I started college compared to how our kids are going to start college. It's going to be really different. And so that's, you know, going to be hard for us to figure out how to help them navigate. They'll probably navigate it more easily than we will, to be honest.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of parents out there mourning what they think it's supposed to be like for this group of high school seniors. Right. And I agree with you. What I've seen from them is a lot of resilience and rethinking what it's going to mean for them.
Right.
And I think parents need to wrap their heads around that it's not going to be all the traditions that we think ought to be.
Right. That's right. And, you know, traditions change over time. That's just the nature of it. But I think that what's interesting to see from this group and what I've witnessed from my son is that, you know, he's the things that he is sad about are more about the personal connections that he's missing out on rather than the tradition that he's missing out on. When I asked him what he was saddest about, he said, "I'm saddest that I'm not going to get to play with the band the last time."
I know. Yeah, mine too.
Yeah. That's like the personal connection with all the other musicians and the, you know, the band instructors who mean so much, the Currys mean so much to the kids. And that's more about personal connections. And I think that the cool thing is that those personal connections aren't going to be lost. You know, they're still going to be there. They can continue those personal connections on. But, you know, it is a different kind of thing than missing out on walking across the stage, which my son's not so upset about in comparison to missing the music part.
Right. So is there anything else that you would like to tell folks about this experience for you, or that you want to make sure your constituents know?
Yeah, I mean, I want to make sure that folks know that if they need something, that they should reach out. And that's even if you just need to talk to somebody, because this is a really hard time for everybody, for all of us. Even if we have things like social media where we feel like maybe we could be connected, you still can feel really isolated. And it can be really sad and really hard. And we are missing out on those social connections with people. So if you are feeling sad or you're feeling lonely, you know, please do reach out. And if you have some issue that the city can help out with too, that's a city issue, the typical kinds of city issues of, you know, streets and sidewalks, then, please reach out about that too. But going forward, it's easy to say, you know, we all are in this together, we're all working on it together. The fact of the matter is that all of us have different resources. We all are going to be experiencing this in different ways. And so this is going to be much more difficult for some people to weather than it is for others. And we need to have the empathy and the support that's in our community that we know is there, but we need to make sure that we can continue to sustain that for the long haul, making sure that we all can work together and pace ourselves so that we continue to have the empathy that we need to have for the next 18 months. And that includes, supporting people financially if we need to, whether that's your small business or it's the person that was working at the small business that no longer has the job that's putting food on the table and paying their rent. Let's all try to come together and continue to support those folks in our community.
I love that. So my final question that I've been asking everyone is, wearing masks or some type of face covering is going to be the norm at least for a while.
Yeah.
So as they become our fashion accessory, my question is, what's the logo or pattern or material that you're dying to have on your next mask once you're able to get them more easily?
Oh gosh, that is a hard one because there's so many good logos out there. I would say that I need to have a mask with I've seen a Cornish Rex print out there. And I have Cornish Rex cats and I love them so much. So I would love to have a Cornish Rex print mask. And the other one is I have backyard hens. And so something with backyard hens on it, I think would also be really great. So if anybody has any Rhode Island Red fabric out there, I'm looking for Cornish Rex and Rhode Island Reds.
I just ordered my RBG mask.
Oh,
so it's
nice.
Got her face all over it.
Now, another one that I would be happy with, because you know that I love fitness, and so I love and I love lifting weights in particular. So if anybody has any dumbbells out there on a mask, dumbbells would be great too.
Well, thanks for spending some time with me today. It was great to see you. Like you were talking about those social connections. Facebook is, I think, sometimes fools us into thinking that we're talking and we're connecting, but it isn't the same. And this is really a really nice way to spend some time together and to see you and converse.
Yeah, it's good to see you too. I hope that everybody in your family is not only surviving, but thriving, as they say, and doing well. Hopefully we'll all stay well and our community will continue to do as wonderfully as we have.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.